Good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Dwayne, and welcome to Encounter Life Church. I'm excited that you're here with us this morning. Look, wherever you're watching, I pray that you're having an amazing, amazing Sunday, and we're just glad that you can join us. If you're new to Encounter Life, again, we're glad you're here. We want to connect with you. So if you got an opportunity, just drop us a what's up, you know, in the chat. If you're watching in the chat, say, look, I'm new to Encounter Life, wherever you're watching, whether it be YouTube, Facebook, or on the website. If you're watching there, listen, log in, chat, connect with us. Let us know where you're watching from. Also, we'd like to, if you want to connect with us further and know a little bit more about Encounter Life, do me a favor, send us a text message. You can text the word new to 301-804-2520. That's N-E-W to 301-804-2520 and say, look, I'm new, but I want to know some more. You may want to know about how to be involved in a small group, how to be involved in some things that are going on here at ELC. That's a great way to find out. Or you can find out just by filling out our connection form right on the website. Our website is encounterchurch.net, and you can go to /next, encounterchurch.net/next, N-E-X-T. Boom, there's a form that pops up that allows you to connect with us, let us know you're new, or if you're returning one way or the other, or if you're in need of prayer. Some of you may watching today say you're in need of prayer. You may want to let us know that on that form, or you can watch, if you're watching online, you can let us know right there and say, boom, there's a place for you to click for request prayer. You can let us know that if you're watching us online on the website as well. Look, today is May the 23rd. It is Pentecost Sunday. And we're going to be looking in the book of Acts today. For those of you who are with us, we're going to be looking in the book of Acts. I pray that your hearts were blessed. I pray that as last week we talked about fighting temptation, as you were on this week, man, I pray that you were able to fight off some of those temptations that came running at you. And today we're going to be looking at a topic that is so essential on us dealing with temptation. And it's fitting today on Pentecost Sunday that we're going to be looking in the book of Acts. Because on Pentecost Sunday is the Sunday, if you look in Acts chapter 2, where the presence of God came and the Holy Spirit came and manifest himself like tongues of flaming fire on those people there in the scriptures. And I'm here to tell you, he promised in Acts chapter 1 that we would receive power when his Spirit came upon us. And then that power was there to make us, to cause us to go out to be a witness for him, both there in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what the word says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And with that power, with that, the presence of that Holy Spirit, man, we got power to do some amazing things. You know what? You have the power now to resist temptation. If you've accepted Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, now you do have the power to resist because it's no longer you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We praise God for the Holy Spirit that resides in everyone who's made a decision to trust Christ as Savior and Lord. And we're going to talk about one of those benefits, the access that we have today. And one of the tools, the essential tools in fighting off temptation. And as we look at the power that we have in Christ, the power that we have in his precious Holy Spirit indwelling us. And we're going to look at the power that we have in prayer. And how to pray with power. I don't know about any of y'all ever, have you ever prayed and felt like, man, God, are you answering my prayer? You know, or like you praying something. It's like, man, God never, it seems like he never answers my prayer. And then you know somebody, have you ever seen somebody that every time they pray, boom, things happen. Like, I never forget, man, there was an older guy, pastor, that I just remember, missionary, who used to come visit here and Encounter Life Church. Man, he used to bless my heart. This man of faith, Pastor Joseph Jetter. Of Have Christ Will Travel Ministries. And every time he would come to Encounter Life at then the Washington Christian Center, he would just share the testimonies of the mission field and seeking God to do amazing things. And you know what? God always showed up. He always showed up and did and answered prayer because that's the kind of God that we serve. And I'm here to tell you, look, you serve a God who's willing and ready and willing to answer your prayer. But there's some things that we got to do. We got to be in line so that we can pray with power. And we're going to look at some examples of some followers of Christ in Acts chapter 4 today who had power. They accepted that holy, they had received that power. The Holy Spirit came. They had accepted Christ and his presence was indwelling them. And that power that they had was manifest in their prayer life in Acts chapter 4 and some other things as well. But we're just going to look at that power in our prayer life today. Because I believe today, look, the solution to a lot of the stuff that we got going on, we need to be battling on our knees. I said it a few weeks back that when you look at the statistics, many Americans, I believe it was over 60% of Americans, believe that what's happening right now, that COVID-19 is God trying to tell us something. And that at the same time, millions of Americans who said they never went to church before, hardly ever went to church, hardly ever did any of those things, are now starting to pray. Because they know, look, God, we need some answers. And I'm here to tell you, if we're calling on God, the key thing is we got to make sure we're doing what we need to do so we can see him answer those prayers. And so we're going to look at some things today, some keys how we can have power in our prayer life. As we look at Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 23 through 31. I won't be before you long, I promise you. But we're going to look at some keys to praying with power. Will you pray with me real quick, guys? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for this day. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, as we today, as we celebrate, as we recognize Pentecost Sunday, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the presence of that Holy Spirit that indwells us, Lord God, and that you desire to fill us and take complete control of us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that the fruit of the Spirit will be made manifested in our lives. That people will see, that those of us who name your name, Lord God, will manifest the fruit of love, will manifest the fruit of joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, Lord God, meekness, self-control, Lord God, that we will manifest it and that will reflect your glory and that we'll see people drawn to you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will tap into the resource that we have, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to see you do some great and mighty things that our mind could never conceive. We praise you. We thank you. We pray, Lord God, for those who are right now who are praying and seeking you, Lord God, in their prayer life. I pray for those who are struggling in their life of prayer. I pray they'll find encouragement today from your word. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we want to look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. And, you know, I don't know about y'all. Prayer, we're going to look at the power to pray, power in our prayers. How to have power, a powerful prayer life. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know, sometimes prayer can be intimidating. Sometimes prayer can be intimidating. And you know, if any of you are watching me today and you've grown up in church and you know, if somebody asks you to pray, sometimes somebody asks you to pray, it can be, man, I don't know how to pray like pastor such and such or minister such and such or those people. Sometimes, you know, we feel like we don't know how to pray. But I'm so glad, you know, these past couple of weeks, I've been looking at the Lord's Prayer in a new way. And what God showed me as I was looking at Matthew 6, I've been looking at Matthew 6 and what Jesus said about prayer, what he said about prayer. He said, look, man, this is real simple. You know, don't let your prayers be a bunch of whole lot of words like people of other religions. Just keep it real simple. You don't need to pray no big prayers in public. Go to your little secret place, your little closet, your little prayer closet. And I'm going to give you a blueprint for how you need to pray. And I'm here to tell you, and then he comes, oh, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I'm here to tell you, we get into that Lord's Prayer. Every sports team that I played on, football team, I'm going to tell you, it was like the Lord's Prayer was like our rally cry before we go out. Every time we get together, we get in the huddle, before we say, you know, whatever we're going to do, everybody gets together and says the Lord's Prayer. It was almost like a ritual. And many of you who are watching me today, the Lord's Prayer was kind of ritual. We say it at special occasions and different things like that. But I'm here to tell you, the more I was looking at that Lord's Prayer, I said, wow, God. I look at this Lord's Prayer that he's given us, and I said, you know what? It's very simple, but there's so much power in it. Everything that I need for prayer is right in there. It's not in a whole lot of words. So if you're watching me today and we're talking about how to have power in your prayer life, it's not in you having a whole lot of flowery words. It's not in you having a whole lot of religious phrases. You know, prayer is simply talking with God. And the key to getting answers to prayer is being in line with what he will have us to do. You know, it's very simple. I love it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Just giving God praise. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. That's what we're looking for. God, I'm looking for your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done on earth in my family. I want your will to be done in my finances. I want your will to be done in my marriage. I want your will to be done on my job. I want your will to be done in my schooling. All of those things, man, the Lord's Prayer is all right in there. I encourage you to take a look at that prayer and see the simplicity of what prayer is. I'm going to give you four keys, four principles to praying with power today. For us as followers of Jesus Christ, I think it's so important for us to be able to see God answer the prayer that we are looking for. Look at Acts 4, chapter 23. Acts 4:23, and I'm just kind of give you a context. Peter and John right here in Acts chapter 4 had just been locked up. The disciples, Peter and John, had just been locked up. What they were doing, they were out there preaching and giving the word of God. And there was one man who had actually, this crippled man, he came to the temple and he would have somebody every day bring him out to the temple. If you look in Acts chapter 4 at the beginning, he would have somebody bring him out, set him out there at the temple by the gate. And he was hoping to receive some healing, but he had been coming for year after year and after year, and nobody ever healed him. And then walked Peter and John. And if you go through Acts and look at Acts, the first three chapters, and see the miraculous things that were happening and the presence of the Holy Spirit coming and lives being changed and souls being saved and these people preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what happened is Peter and John came out there and said, look, you know what? This man who's been sitting out here all of this time, they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you get up and walk. And this man who for years who was trying to come to the church house, who come to the religious building to get healing, who had never got any healing, met two guys who had been with Jesus and introduced him to the power of God in Jesus Christ. And he got up and he walked. And I'm going to tell you, this guy's walking. And when they saw him walking, you know what? That was a platform for them to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, those of you watching, we serve a miracle working God. Our God is a way maker. He's a miracle worker. But one thing I do know about the miracle, as we look on this Pentecost Sunday, there's so much confusion about miracles. There's so much confusion about what happened when the Holy Spirit came and those tongues fell on them. But I'm here to tell you, whenever those miraculous signs come, they are connected with the mission. They're connected with the mission. What is that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. They're connected with the enlarging of God's kingdom. And what happened? Peter and John, they spoke healing into the life of this man through Jesus Christ, through the power of the resurrected Lord. And this man stood up and he was able to walk. And you know what they used that? A platform to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they were proclaiming this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and telling the story of Jesus Christ who came and he lived and he died and was buried and rose again, people didn't like it. They didn't like what was going on, and so they got upset. And so the religious leaders there said, man, we got to stop these dudes from telling this stuff, because a lot of people are going after them, man, or following this new way. And so what they did, they put them in jail. They put Peter and John in jail, and when they were in jail, they were thinking, they were brainstorming, okay, what are we going to do with these dudes? You know, if we persecute them, if we beat them, if we whip them, people are going to get upset, because there's a whole lot of people who are following after this teaching that they got. So what they did, they said, look, Peter and John, this is what we're going to do. We're going to let y'all go. But what you got to do, y'all got to stop talking about this Jesus. You got to stop talking about this Jesus. Please, don't do this anymore. And Peter and John say, bro, look, are you serious? Should we obey you or should we obey God? One thing we're not going to do, we're not going to stop talking about Jesus. We're not going to stop telling people that he is the way. We're not going to stop telling people, as in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that there is no other name under heaven given among men through which you can be saved. Listen, we can't do that. So they let him go. And then we enter into our passage today in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, after Peter and John were released from prison and they were threatened, and the people said, look, man, y'all got to stop. The verse 21 of Acts 4 says, the council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for his miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. What happened? They threatened them, stop preaching. And they say, well, how can we stop preaching? Y'all see what's happening. We can't stop telling the truth. And so what Peter and John, they were threatened and they were released. And then they went to with the fellow followers of Christ. And verse 23 says this: as soon as they were free, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, This has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this is the part, after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Man, wouldn't you love it that when you prayed, that after you prayed, man, if you're in your bedroom and you say, God, I need to see a mighty move. We need your provision in this particular area of our life. That after you got up off your knees or however position you were, that the building started shaking. That the building started shaking. Man, I'm here to tell you, I want some earth-shaking prayer. Anybody in need of an earth-shaking prayer? To know that God said, look, I hear you, I'm with you, and to let you know I'm about to shake the building. God wants to shake some stuff up. But I'm here to tell you, in order for you to have that power in your prayer like they had right here in Acts 4, there's some principles that I want us to apply that I think God would have us to apply that I can see right here in the passage. Number one, what we need to do, you and I need to pray in unity. Say unity. We need to pray in unity. Look at it right here, verses 19 and 20. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We can't stop telling about everything we've seen and heard. That's what they said. And then go down to verse 24. They let them go. And then when they had heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices. How? Together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth and sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit and through your ancestor David, your servant, saying, look, what happened is they said they prayed how? They prayed together. They came together. And I'm here to tell you, church, when we, the body of Christ, begin to pray in unity, we will see a mighty move of God. See, what was happening here, all of the miracles, all of the signs that you see in the book of Acts, they were tied to a mission. And today we all have got access. I praise God that we got access, that we can go directly to the boldly before the throne. But what God has begun to show me as I looked at the Lord's Prayer, as I looked in Matthew chapter 6 and God and what Jesus was telling us for prayer, he said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. That was the number one. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What do we want? Your kingdom come. Well, number one, they were praying in unity. All of the body of Christ in this chapter and book of Acts were praying together for one mission. Church, we got to get on the same page. Too often, yes, God wants to answer individual prayers, but you know what? Even our individual prayers are tied to a greater mission. You know, our individual lives, God, see, we are all a piece in a puzzle that he's trying to put together. And what we have to get is on the same page. God is calling us to pray in unity. And the best way to pray in unity is to be praying in line with his mission. And what is his mission? For his kingdom to come. For his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is his mission? Go into all the world. Listen, we are supposed to be making disciples. Church, we need to pray in unity. Everything that I'm asking for in my life and seeking God for in my life, how does it tie in with the mission? Several weeks ago, we talked about being on mission, a church being on mission. Too often, church, we're building our own kingdom. We're building our own kingdom. He said Matthew 6, also later in Matthew 6, it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things he will add. Too often right now in 2021, we building our kingdoms. As you look at, man, you today we're in an age where you're watching me online. After you watch me, you know what? You can go watch another church. You can watch another church tonight. You can come back and watch me tomorrow. And as you go and as we look online, as the more I see online and all of these churches, all of those churches that all of us are proclaiming to name the name of Jesus Christ. But you know what? We praying, but we not praying in unity. Some of us, we're not praying in unity. We got some churches praying for one political party and others praying for a different one. We got some churches praying for people to get more money, and other people are praying for more suffering. We're not praying in unity. What the one way that we know we can have power in prayer, can you imagine if every church in this city, every church in this country, every church on the globe was praying in unity for the same thing? And what better way to do that than all of us look at this prayer in Matthew chapter 6, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Church, we need to be praying. Even so come, Lord Jesus. We want to pray for your kingdom. What do we need? Yes, we're looking for him to come, return, but we need to manifest. We need to begin to live kingdom living here on earth. We need to have our feet firmly planted in kingdom, and thus those of us who are saved by the blood of Jesus need to be able to manifest kingdom here on earth. God is telling us to enlarge his kingdom. But too many of us are trying to enlarge our own kingdoms. No wonder my prayers ain't getting answered, because I'm not in line with his will. He said, look, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray in the spirit and pray for what? All believers everywhere. Church, if we want to see power in prayer, we got to begin to pray in unity. We got to be on one accord with God, and we got to be on one accord with one another. We got to be about his mission. And that ties very closely into the second thing. We got to pray in unity. But not only do we need to pray in unity, but we need to pray with authority. See, I talked about being in line with his mission. What better way to pray? God, in 1 John chapter 5, he says, if you ask anything according to my will, he hears us. If you ask anything according to my will, he hears us. And if I know that he hears us, then I have whatsoever I ask, and we have the petitions that we have desired of him. If I know he hears me, then I know he's going to answer. 1 John 5. So, I got to ask according to his what? Where do I find his will? In his word. See, we got to pray with authority. Look at how they prayed with authority in Acts chapter 4. Did they ask for their own desires? No, they went right back to the word. It says, verse 25, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. What they did, they went back to the word of God and said, God, you said this long ago. I'm here to tell you one way that you got to pray. Number one, you got to pray in authority. You got to pray back the word of God. But you got to come to God, not on your own strength. See, when I come to God, when praying in authority is not, Dwayne, I want this. It's coming. I come to Father. It's your son, but I'm coming. When he sees me coming, it's not because he sees Dwayne, but because he sees his son, Jesus Christ. It kind of reminds me of the story of this father who was throwing a birthday party for his son, and the son was turning like 13, 14. I'm not sure. And at the birthday party, he told him, look, you can invite some friends. I want you to invite your friends. So the kid invited 14 friends to his birthday, and Pops took him to a carnival. When they got to the carnival, Dad had a roll of tickets that he had for his friends, and when they would get on rides, Dad would hand out the ticket for the kids to get on the ride. So on this particular ride, I was a roller coaster or whatever, Dad had handed out the ticket to the counter and said, 1, 2, 3, and he said, okay, I handed out 14 tickets for the ride, and the kids want to ride, and all of a sudden, this little kid comes up and starts tapping on him, says, I want to get on the ride. I need a ticket. And he looks at him and said, are you at the party? He said, I don't remember you being on the list. And then and the kid looked at him, he says, your son said I can have a ticket. And based on that, the father said, okay, you can get on the ride. And I'm here to tell you, you pray in authority because, listen, you come not on, I don't come to the father based on Dwayne. I come because the son, listen, when he sees me, he sees his son. And based on what Jesus Christ has done, because Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid my sin debt, and I have accepted his gift, the gift of salvation, now there is the veil that was between me and God has been torn. So I come on authority in the name of Jesus Christ, not on my own strength. Look at it. That's what they said. Look, they even said verse 30. He says, right, listen, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done. How? Through the name of your holy servant Jesus. God, don't do it because we're asking. It's not just it's not Peter asking. It's not just John asking. God, do it in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. We come on the strength of what Christ has done. You got to pray with authority. And you pray with authority by coming on back. You have access through Jesus Christ. So if you come into God and you haven't been given that access through Jesus Christ, listen, that's the only way. Look, everybody calling on God, he ain't hearing everything. Look, what he wants you to know that, listen, I will give you access. I'm here to answer your prayer, but I want to know, are you coming? Are you coming to me based on what Christ has done, not on your own strength? And then, are you coming according to his word? You know, what better way to pray than to pray? I mean, it would be a good thing to know that when I'm praying in line with his word. Too often, I'm praying in line with my will and not his word. What I want instead of what he wants. Today, if you want to pray with power, you need to pray in unity. We need to be on one accord with one another and be praying. Listen, how do we pray? How can the best way for us to be on one accord is to pray with authority, not our own authority, but of Jesus Christ, not our own authority, but the authority of what God has already said in his word. Pray back his word. Do you know everything I need, direction for life, is right here in his word? As you're getting on your knees today, as you're seeking God, begin to go to him based on what he's already promised you. Pray in unity. Pray with authority. But number three, pray with intensity. Pray with intensity. I say it all the time, man. When I was a lifeguard, when people were drowning and they were crying out for help, I never saw anybody say, listen, I'm getting ready to go under. Could you help me, please? Help, help. When somebody's drowning, they scream out for help. They're desperate. They don't care how they look. They don't care if they slob and spit. They don't care how silly they look, because they're calling out with intensity because it's of a sense of urgency. And I'm looking at these people in Acts chapter 4. They cried out to God with a level of intensity. Look at verse 29. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. God, we're under attack right now. Give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power, and may miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Can't you hear the intensity in their cry? Can't you hear the intensity in their request? And you know what? They can come with intensity. Why? Because they were praying with authority. See, you can pray with intensity because you are certain that you're asking for what God wants. Because they knew that it was his will to expand his kingdom, for his kingdom come, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, when I pray in authority, when I'm in line, when I'm in unity with other believers and in line with God and his word, I can come with some intensity, passionate prayer. Today, guys, we're in need of some passionate prayer. Laissez-faire prayer is not going to cut it. You know, you gotta come to him desperately as though you need it. Because all prayer is a prayer is our expression of our dependence on God. Listen, the Bible, and we need to pray with intensity because this is a serious time that we're living in. If you're listening to me and you've accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, what they were asking for boldness to go preach the word. They were asking for boldness to proclaim a message that they wanted everybody to know that the building is on fire. And listen, there's a way that you can get out. And I'm going to tell you, if we're not intense about that, that's a problem. There are people whose lives, whose souls are at risk. Ezekiel chapter 33 says, suppose I say to the wicked, wicked people, you surely die, but you don't speak to warn them. The wicked people, you don't speak to warn the wicked to stop doing evil, then they will die because they were sinners, but I will punish you for their deaths. But if you warn the wicked to stop doing evil and they don't stop, they'll die because they were sinners, but you saved your life. What he's saying here in this principle is, listen, I'm giving you guys the responsibility. Those of you who are my children, I'm giving you a responsibility to warn people. Look, time is winding up. Y'all, we got to come to God with some intensity because these are some urgent times that we're living in. And when we don't intercede, when we don't pray with intensity, guess what? Look, he comes to us. He's going to hold us accountable. You got to pray with unity. You got to pray on the authority of Christ and the authority of his word. And you got to pray with some passion, some intensity. After you've done those three, the final thing is this. You need to pray expectantly. Pray expecting God to show up. Pray expecting God to give you an answer. Look at verse 31. It said, look, what did they ask for? If we go and look at verse 23, at verse 24, he says, O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth. Look, they said they asked for what? Boldness. They wanted boldness to preach the gospel. They needed boldness to go and do what God called them to do. I love what they asked for. Look at this. The people were getting ready to persecute them. They didn't ask to be delivered from the persecution. Man, to me, Dwayne, sometimes, God, can you take away the pain? And he's a guy who can't take away the pain. But I love their desire and their heart. And God says his eyes go to and fro the earth to seek himself, to show himself strong to those who have a heart toward him. And what they did, they didn't say, God, don't stop the persecution. Give us boldness in the face of it. Because we know what you're calling us to do. And so we cannot share, we cannot get out of what you're calling us to do. It's a sense of urgency. But as they're persecuting us, as they're threatening us, they may threaten our lives, but God, help us to stand boldly and proclaim this life-changing truth that Jesus saves. And you know what they did? Because they were coming to God together in unison. And they came to God on the authority of his word. They knew that God, he says, I'm not a man that I lie. That's what he says in number. He said, he's not a man that he lie, or the son of man that he change his mind. If I said it, I'm going to make it good. He knew that, listen, he does what he promises. He's a promise-keeping God. And if that's what his word says, he's duty-bound to do it, to fulfill it, because they knew they were coming on the authority of his word. So what did they expect? They expected God to show up today. When you pray, do you expect God to show up? It says right here in verse 31, after this prayer, what happened? The meeting place shook. I want that to happen when I pray one day. I want the building to shake. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. You know what? That was a sign of God, of his approval. Say, yes, you're in line with what I'm asking for. Now let me equip you. Let me enable you to do what I've called you to do. See, what God is waiting for, the equipping and the enabling, he's waiting for a heart of obedience. He's waiting for the heart of obedience. And what they did, they expected. What they asked God was for boldness. And what did God provide? Boldness. They expected him to show up. The Holy Spirit came, listen, filled them all. It says it filled all, they were all filled, and then they got up and preached with the boldness that they asked God for. They went out and did the preaching. They went out and began to win souls. Why? Because they were going on the strength, the power of the Holy Spirit. But they expected God to show up. Do you expect God to show up? Sometimes I don't expect God to show up. Sometimes because maybe I'm not sure I'm praying according to his will. One way I can know I'm praying according to his will is, am I praying aligned with his word? Am I praying in line with his word, or am I praying what I want, my desires, what I want? You know, sometimes, man, I tell you, the desires and appetites of this culture have infiltrated our hearts so much that we can get confused, even in church. We can be thinking, we asking for God, you know, for God's will, and God said, no, man, y'all ain't in line with what I'm asking. That's one reason why I've been saying it over the past year. Maybe, God, that's why you've caused so many church buildings to be closed right now during the pandemic. Because y'all been asking for more resources for your building. You've been asking for more stuff. Even here, we're on a capital campaign. We want to do things to improve our facility. And God said, guess what? I'm going to show you. I'm going to shut your facility down. I'm going to shut your facility down. Because the mission I'm asking you to do, guess what? A building is nice, but guess what? It don't even need the building. I need to get to my people first before you focus on the building. So I want you to begin to pray what I want. And what do I want you to pray? Begin to worship me, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your glorious name. God, we want your kingdom to come. We want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not our will. Not our will, God. Not more stuff. Not just better marriages, God. We want you to enlarge your kingdom, because we know when we ask for that, that takes care of the finances. When we ask for his will to be done, his kingdom to come, that takes care of our relationships. All of that is tied up into him. God is trying to get our hearts today. And he wants us to begin to pray, but pray with power, y'all. So we need to stop these selfish prayers. Dwayne, you need to stop the selfish prayers. God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. We need to begin to pray in unity, the body of Christ. Can you imagine how powerful it is? I challenge you this week to take a new look at that Lord's Prayer. I challenge you this week to look at the Lord's Prayer as not just a chant that you say at a funeral service and not just a chant that you say after your football games or with your football team after a win or a loss. But I look at it as the model for prayer that Jesus Christ said that it should be, to teach us how to pray. He said, look, we want to acknowledge him. We want to worship him and then really ask for his kingdom to come. That's asking his kingdom to come is not just saying, Jesus, come back, take us out of here. No, he's not just about taking us out of here. It's about you to manifest kingdom right here on earth. That's what he calls us at Encounter Life. We say, look, we exist to exalt his presence. The second thing we exist to do is enlarge his kingdom. And he wants to do that right here in the earth realm. And the way he enlarges his kingdom is by seeing people one to Jesus Christ. That's what was happening right here in the book of Acts. If you go back and read it, it said daily people were being added to the church. Back in Acts 2, 3,000 people were added to the church. He said he added to the church daily. Those were being saved. He was enlarging his kingdom. Today, church, he wants to enlarge his kingdom. But he's waiting for the church to be praying in unity for that. And not only that, we're praying on the authority of his word and the authority of Christ. We're coming on his behalf, not what we want. We're coming on the authority of Jesus Christ indwelling us. And not only that, we're praying with intensity because it's a sense of urgency. It's a sense of urgency. And then we pray expecting God to show up. I heard somebody say, look, when you begin to ask God for rain, you better bring your umbrella. You better bring your umbrella. I was just looking in the scriptures and looking at the prophet Elijah and Kings and First Kings and looking at Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And Elijah and the prophets of Baal is an amazing story where all these prophets of these pagan gods, and Elijah said, man, I'm going to pray in authority because I'm going to pray with some intensity and authority because I know I'm coming and asking. I know who the real God is. And Elijah came with this divine, with this swagger because he came to God because I know who the real God is. And when he came and he approached the prophets of Baal and said, you pray to your God and ask him to burn up this sacrifice on the altar. I pray to my God and I'm going to ask him to pray to the sacrifice on this altar. And he came on the strength of what God, who he says he was. And while he was watching these other ones pray and pray to these different idols and all of the stuff and nothing happening, he said, now that y'all finished, let me pray God. And all he did is declare what God says he was. And God, whoops, he consumed that fire, came down and consumed that. He answered the prayer. Kind of reminds me of the earth-shattering prayer. Listen, when we pray in line with his will and his word and come on the authority of his son, Jesus Christ, God will give, listen, he answers prayer, and you begin the prayer, he will begin to shake some stuff up in our world. And we'll begin to see his kingdom enlarged. And we'll begin to see souls saved. That's what he's looking for. That's what Christ came to do. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. Today, you want prayer power in your prayer life? What did I say? Number one. We got to pray together in unity. We got to be unified in what we pray. Church, let's get together this week. We look at the Lord's Prayer. I challenge folks here at Encounter Life. We're going to, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to pray it back, not as a ritual, but we're going to pray it back and apply it personally to our own situation over the next month. Apply it personally, asking God, going to him and worshiping him, asking for his kingdom to come, his will be done here on earth in our finances, in our families, as it is in heaven. We're going to ask him to provide every need. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Listen, and don't lead us in temptation, Lord God. Deliver us from evil. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's so many things covered in there. Forgiveness, provision, asking God to keep us from temptation. And watch over us. Look, there's so much in there. Begin to apply that to your lives this week. And I would just be amazed to see what God does as we look at that, not just as a chant, But as we look at it as a call from God, for Jesus Christ, as a model that he's given us to pray and begin to apply those concepts, those principles in our own prayer life. See God do some amazing, miraculous things. Amen? Will you pray with me today? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you that your ear is turned toward us. That your word says your ear is turned toward us to hear our prayers. But Lord, oftentimes we're not seeing that earth-shattering prayer. We're not seeing those answers and that move of God, that move of power, because sometimes I'm praying in my own strength and I'm not praying according to what you would have me to do. Lord, forgive us for when we had selfishness in our prayers. And Lord God, even some of the good things that we asked for, Lord, let us make sure that they're tied in to your kingdom coming and your will be done, your will being done here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Lord, meet every need that is out there today. There's somebody, Lord God, they've got needs. Lord God, but let it all be tied in. As you provide, as you give that provision, it's tied into your kingdom coming, the enlarging of your kingdom. Lord, let us see you do great and mighty things that our mind could have never conceived, not for our own glory, not for our own satisfaction, so that we can point back to you, just like Peter and John did here when they healed that lame man. Let all glory go to you so people can be drawn. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, I said earlier that young man who had that birthday party and invited all these friends, that one person, look, got in. And the little boy said, your son says, I can get on the ride because I got the ticket. I mean, because you got the ticket. He told me I can get on. The father let him in on behalf of the son. I'm here to tell you, prayers like that, that's authority. Look, you can only get those answers to prayer when you come in that authority. When the father is listening, he said, look, who are you coming? Who are you coming on behalf? He said, look, I'm coming on the authority, on the strength of what your son has said. And I'm here to tell you that, listen, if you want to get access to God, you got to come and get access to God through what his son has done for you on the cross. The only way for you to come to God, directly to God, Jesus Christ said, now you can come boldly. God's word said we now can go boldly before his throne and ask him why, based on what Jesus Christ has done. He has now bridged the gap between us and God. How did he do that? He came to die for your sin. Your sin has separated you from God to make it impossible for God to hear me. And the only way for God to hear me, the only way for God and I, for you and I and God to be connected, is for our sins to be forgiven. And in order for our sins to be forgiven, there had to be someone who paid the sacrifice. Had to be a perfect individual. No perfect individual but God. So God became man. God came to this earth, Jesus Christ. And for God so loved the world, in John chapter 3, verse 16, said that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live on this earth, to die on the cross, to pay the price for your sins and mine. And if you want to have access to God, to know that your prayers are answered, to know that he's there working on your behalf, listen, you must admit to God, number one, that you are a sinner separated from him. You must believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you, that he was buried, and that he rose again to make you right with God. You must choose him as Savior and Lord of your life. If you've never done that, you want to make sure that, God, I know that you're answering my prayer. You want to be certain that I know that, God, at the end of my life, I will go to and live forever with you. Why don't you pray this prayer with me? Just simply says, dear God, thank you for loving me. I admit today that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe he was buried and he rose again. Today I make the choice to invite you into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins, past, present, and future, and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Congratulations. If you did that, listen, if you're in the chat, there's a way you can hit the button that said, listen, I accepted Christ today. Someone will connect with you. You can also go on our website right now and to encounterchurch.net/next on that form and let us know you accepted Christ. Or if you're not able to do that, just send us a text, 301-804-2520, and in the message, type N-E-X-T, next. We're going to give you some information on what you need to do next. Look forward to seeing you guys next Sunday. You guys have an amazing day. And look, this week, let's pray with power. Amen?